This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Investigations are ongoing into the deaths of five Orang Asli children in Pos Tohoi in Gua Musang, Kelantan last month. The tragedy has shed light on many long-standing problems affecting the indigenous community, especially education-related issues. The primary school children had reportedly run away from the school's hostel after a warden threatened to punish them when they returned. This has raised questions on whether the children had evaded the search party sent to find them for fear of being beaten. BFM spoke to Puan Hasma Manaf, Assistant Secretary of the Education and Training Department of Suakam, the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia. Hasma, who has been working with the Orang Asli for 25 years, elaborates on why the children tend to run away from school.
One is because they miss their parents. So if one go, if there are seven in the kampung, the whole seven will follow them. That is their modus operandi. There are cases they went home because they were beaten. That also they do go home. They feel slighted or they are angry. Talking to the teachers, they say it's quite common for them to just go missing from the school.
A key problem seems to be the hostel system, where children as young as 6 years old are separated from their parents and stay in hostels supervised by wardens. This is because many of the schools are located far from Orang Asli settlements.
So now they have to be away from their parents. If they were to go by transport, it take them like 2 hours to 6 hours. If they walk, it take them about 2 days, 1 day, or the children to go back. They were saying they can only go back once a semester. Very different from what the children in the asrama school in the mainstream, where they can go back 2 weeks once. That means in a month, they can go back twice. Whereas the children, they can only go back like 3 months once. Number two, they wouldn't know how to take care of themselves. What if they fall sick? What if they need their mother? And yet we have this policy where we send them to an asrama which is far from their house.
The lack of training provided to the teaching assistants who act as wardens is also an issue.
They are in the asrama to look after their children. Interestingly, they are not teachers. And their training only for 2 weeks. And their grade is equivalent to a clerk. I'm not belittling clerk. The issue is you are looking after children here, psychologically, physiologically, they grow their emotion and they don't have the training. Give them parental training, psychological training, child development training, which is not provided for.
Government figures show that in 2012, 7,000 rural Orang Asli children of primary school going age did not go to school. There are 94 primary schools exclusively for Orang Asli, scattered around several states, catering to some 16,000 children. Out of these, some 3,400 are children between 6 to 12 years of age, living in hostels. However, the conditions of these schools are far from ideal.
Most of the interior schools, they are found in Kelantan, in Perak, Pahang, and a little bit in Johor. In Kelantan especially, accessibility is a big challenge to everybody. The road is logging road and it takes long hours to go to school. So there's no way these children can be ferried every day. As you know, 80% of them are hardcore poor. And also the issues in these schools, mostly they don't have treated water and also 24 hours electricity. And can imagine their fear, their difficulty to be in darkness in the hostels. There's a case I found. This school, they don't have the electricity for almost a year. And the children left the asrama. Some didn't come back to school just because we failed to provide what is needed by these small children.
So could these deplorable conditions stemming from a systemic failure to provide basic amenities to some Orang Asli schools be a contributing factor in cases of teachers abusing the children?
I do not know how frequent is the abuse or how systematic it is. Statistically, we have very few complaints in writing, but the complaints, besides from the parents, we also do get complaints from OA NGOs and OA activities, and some do call Suakam. What can be done to stop this abuse? Some of them is a personality. They are just abusive. Some of the environment not conducive for teaching and learning. Broken ceiling, broken windows, and it's hot, the electricity is not working. I think that can lead to abuse. And with the children running around, not listening to you, if you don't have the patience, you lose your cool.
Teaching orang asli children can also be a challenge due to their shy and reserved nature. Many also suffer from low self-esteem.
And also, we have to understand the language used is Bahasa Melayu. And these children in the interior, the standard one, standard two, definitely they have difficulty using this Bahasa Melayu language. They are used to their mother tongue. Suddenly, they are in this school, compounded, they are staying in the asrama. We have no problem with the teachers. They are all qualified. The issue is the training they receive suffice to make them a functional and effective teachers for the orang asli children with different culture, different language, different environment, different attitude? Do they have the enough understanding, the sensitivity and the love for orang asli children?
It is no surprise then that these long-standing problems and the deaths of the 5 children at Tohoi have caused fear among parents.
The Tohoi case, and I stayed with the parents. They are very concerned of sending their children again to the school and staying in the asrama. One parent even said, I would rather my children stay uneducated than sending them to die. This is very, very sad. Basically, these parents of this community, they don't trust the system anymore.
There have been concerns that orang asli children are targets of human traffickers. Hasma, however, says the growing number of foreign workers is a greater threat to the community.
In Lodging now, they are having a court case where the orang asli had a brawl with the Myanmars. The orang asli claimed the Myanmars were disturbing their girls. The Myanmars claimed they were attacked by orang asli. It's a court case now. The loggers, mining, private plantation, which brings a lot of foreigners to the interior. This is a challenge. And these foreigners and these projects are closing and encroaching into their kampungs. And it should be a concern now to the safety of these children, to these teenagers, even the elder.
Last year, almost 900 orang asli children dropped out after Standard 6 and did not enroll at secondary level, almost 20% of their total primary school enrollment. There's also no secondary school in Malaysia which caters exclusively to orang asli, meaning they must enroll in national schools or even Chinese vernacular schools. The recent budget 2016 allocated some 300 million ringgit for orang asli well-being. However, the government needs to address their basic access to education to ensure this community is not marginalised even further. I'm Jason Lim, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.